Welcome into DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties being brought to film and television. I'm your host, David Z. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
All right, we are going to be talking about Arrow 407. I have 207 written down.
That can't be right.
Because I'm a fool. No, it's not right at all.
God help me, no. Not season two.
Arrow 407, Brotherhood.
Right. Hold on 1 second. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So Black Canary, right out of the gate, looking like a badass.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Not big on the choreography this episode.
Yeah. Or me and you discussed it
more accurately
before.
The direction of the choreography, I think.
I mean, you were talking about it before. There's obviously a change. This is sea change almost. They went with a bunch of one shots, which haven't really been around a lot at all in the Arrowverse. They went for longer takes on the action. It's an entirely different style of choreography to do big one takes where you see the whole scene, the whole fight, and it doesn't cut away. Than it is to cut over somebody's shoulder to a punch a bunch of times. Different ball game. And they tried to do another game. Now, the thing is, like, I kind of agree with you. I don't want to. I kind of don't. But, it's a little... Because I like the direction. I hope they keep going with that. I want them to keep doing that and keep getting better at that. Because I really dug it as an idea. But, yeah, right. it felt a little, I don't know, awkward. It wasn't quite there yet. But I really dug the direction of it.
I think you dug the idea of it, really. I mean, it just
well,
wasn't...
Well, yeah, direction's poor word choice there. I dug the idea. The actual direction needs a, you know, it'll get there.
If they keep doing it.
We'll have to see. I don't know. It's going to be hard to do
anyway.
One shots in the next couple episodes. Because what are... We got, like, one more regular episode, and then we go into the two-parters?
I think that's... I think that's it. I think so. I don't know. I think... Well, I'm going to look it up.
No, it's December 1st and 2nd are the two-parters.
I has access to the... It says Legends of Yesterday is the next episode, yeah. So we're going directly into the...
Is it? What's today?
Lead up, yeah.
It was supposed to be December 1st and 2nd or when they actually aired. How does time work again? I'm confused.
Well, it's November 21st. So...
Well, what the hell's happening in between?
Nothing.
Huh.
We're skipping a week.
I guess so. Oh, are they? Oh, I didn't even catch that. Are we going to take Thanksgiving week off, I guess?
I guess so, yeah. Seems right. Seems fair.
It's not. Yeah, that's not a big deal.
We've got to figure out what we're doing.
I guess we got less to do next week.
Yeah. So let's make this one a good one.
That makes a lot of sense. We got a lot to do. Like Gotham's going to be wrapping up their fall finale next week. So hop over and join us there if you get bored. If you just find a week without us talking about Arrow or Flash is too much to bear, we'll come back.
Right.
Or you can listen to those 45 episodes that your phone tried to accidentally download.
God, I love Ray.
I do. I do really love Ray.
I really enjoy Ray every time I see him.
He absolutely brightens the show.
And
he refuses to be, like, the overall tone that Arrow's always had, where it keeps taking itself real seriously, he refuses. Like, his character is inconstitutionally capable of being that dour.
Yeah, I mean, except when he's, you know, in season three and talking about his wife being killed. But
then, you know, you get to.
Right.
You get to feel bad about that.
I literally laughed out loud when he brought up Wolfman Biologics.
I did too. Yeah.
All right. I was wondering when they'd pull Wolfman into the reference catalog. But
okay. I think my actual note was like, Wolfman, ha ha ha. Yeah, I think that's what I wrote down. Wolfman, ha ha ha.
Yeah. No, you know what? And then, like, almost directly after, I was, you know, annoyed. Not directly after, but when Andy shows up and then Felicity goes, even death's not permanent anymore. I'm like,
right.
So this is the instance that makes you think that, Felicity?
Right.
Not the three times Sarah's come back, or...
None of that occurred to you, or... Okay.
Okay, yeah.
You weren't worried about it then.
Yeah, so whatever.
I know. That one killed me too.
That was a little odd. I was just. I can't remember who said it. Someone said it to Thea. They said, I can't square that circle, Thea. I think it was Diggle.
It was Diggle. And it was great.
I actually, yeah, I wrote, I can't square that circle, Thea, and then I wrote, LOL, WTF.
Yeah.
Because I shorthand in internet lingo. That's what I do.
You know, and right before that, there's a I thought it was a great scene, where, who was it? It's like right before they stomp out to go save Andy. And, you know, Diggle's going like, I'm not going to ask y'all to do that. And he tries to protest or whatever. But the line he gives him is, what does he say? That's your call. We've made ours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Good dialogue. Also, perfectly good philosophy. You decide that you feel however you want to about this. We're going to go. But it's my brother. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. I actually enjoyed Laurel this episode. And by enjoyed, I didn't hate her. That's what I mean.
Yeah, she wasn't terrible. Still qualifies as like a quality of life improvement for us.
She didn't overact.
Nope.
She had a solid purpose this episode.
Yep. I kind of like the black lipstick too. I'm not sure if it was actually black. I think it was just way, way dark, like Merlot dark. Yeah. But it was good.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to it, but
stood out to me, obviously.
Yeah. I even laughed when she said, "Resurrected siblings are kind of in my wheelhouse."
Right.
I was a little confused because, like, Damien Dark offered assistance to Oliver's mayoral campaign, and Oliver was like, "And what if I don't accept it? Blah blah blah." And he's like, "Well, bad shit's going to happen." Blah. And I thought that's where we left it. Like, and then like the next scene, they're mad at Ollie for throwing in with Damien Dark, and I was like, "When did we do that?"
Yeah, well, Felicity's getting on to it. Like, she comes in and she's listing every decision he's ever made, which was a wonderful scene, by the way.
Right.
I just felt like there was we're in media race for that conversation. There was a moment right before where he kind of says, "So Damien brought up this idea," and he just, it sounded like he just kind of put it on the table for discussion, and they were all immediately went, "Why the hell is this on the table? What the hell did you do? Why did you leave this here?"
Uh-huh.
But we missed that little step before. They should have shown it, or they could have shown it, but that didn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
too delighted by her going back and listening to every single the bad decision he's ever made.
Right.
And him just kind of sitting there listening to it.
All right. Now, I did write here, say, can we call a timeout on Diggle being a dick this season?
I'm kind of tired of him just being that way. To whom?
To anyone, especially Oliver.
Oh, well.
It's like they're back to being friends. Now he's back to being, I'm like, shut up, Diggle.
No, they're friends now. I forget what he did.
He was just a dick the whole episode. Look, my brother, I don't, blah, 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 big baby. Yeah, your brother's a bad person. Lots of people have brothers who are bad people. My sister's
well,
are two
but
of
he
them.
Didn't know that. You have two sisters you can start a support group with if you want to.
Right. I wrote down, did Laurel really just say sick?
You know what I'm talking about? No, I missed that. Where was that?
I don't remember exactly what it was in reference to, but I think it was a piece of tech or something, or I really don't know, but Laurel just goes, sick. And I kind of really liked it.
I think she's maybe had a little bit of phone time with Cisco that's not on screen.
That would delight me.
If they have a big text history or something that we don't know about, they're just chatting on the side.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's making her tech for her. I mean,
yeah. Shit. And they had a great, that's some of the most we had enjoyed her up to that point was when she crossed over and was actually talking to Cisco. She seemed like a real person for a second when she was in Central City.
Yeah. Just like in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking about just leave her there. Leave her there. She's fine over there. She's fine over there. Don't go back to
school. Yeah. You know what it's like? It reminds me of I think certain directors can get this out of her, and I don't know exactly what they're doing, but it's sort of like Shatner in Star Trek, how Nick Meyer could get better results out of Shatner. And specifically what Nick Meyer apparently did, from what I understand, is just keep having Shatner do the scene over and over again until he's literally too tired to overact.
Yeah, I've heard that story. It made me happy.
Right? And what we get is, what we wind up seeing is a very subdued introspective Shatner. No, asshole's just tired.
Right, right.
He's ready to go home and go to sleep and think about riding his horses.
He's had to do 25 takes of the same thing over and over again. And the reason it looked like he forgot his line the first time was because he forgot his line. Because Gene Roddenberry's coke-addled ass just wandered out of the office with it 5 minutes before he was supposed to go on air. Dude, it's a long work day on that set. That's all I'm saying.
Coke-addled ass.
You know those stories.
I know them very well. So I was really happy to see the Atom flying in and helping them out on the battlefield. Yeah. That was so fun. I love Ray.
That's
the theme for this episode. I love Ray.
Yeah. I just cheered. He popped on screen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay. I'm going to pop back for just a second. And I want to talk about, I don't know. I lost my idea.
Well, can I pull one instead, and we'll come back sure. when you're ready?
Sure.
A line I loved a lot. Him talking about Ollie talking about Green Arrow. Maybe I should get him to endorse me.
Yes.
Yeah. That
put
was yourself, good.
Put out another overly lit video and release it to the city, explaining how you think that'd be a good idea. Now I don't know. Like maybe is that the point where the rest of Star City kind of finally looks and goes, "Hey, wait a second."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the idea though. That'd be kind of fun.
Would be. Oh yeah. I remember there what I was going to talk about. We got it back.
I just need to distract you for a second.
You need to distract me for a second. That's true. I was really excited when I thought that Thea was actually going to get all Dexter on us.
Yes.
Because like Malcolm is like, you know, the world needs one less pedophile. I was like, yes, yes, yes!
Yeah.
And then she didn't do that.
No, no. And then it was a range of emotions because, like, she wasn't, like, they showed her actually controlling herself. And I thought, okay, I mean, I know you got to fight it. Well, okay. And then he pops in with the file. And I thought, oh my God, this is exactly what I was hoping for. And then she doesn't do it. And I kind of, I'm back down to the bottom side of the roller coaster again. But then we get to the end of the episode and the little, like, you know, death hand thing backfires on him. I'm back on board, especially when she goes to Merlin later and says, "No, I found something," and she has new evidence that he has never even heard before. Like no one knew that was on the table. Constantine would be happy to find out about that. Probably actually should call him and let him know about that just in case.
I got really excited when Damien touched her and couldn't kill her.
It burned his hand or something. I mean, it really backfired on him.
I actually wrote, "Damn, Damien, WTF is she?"
Damn, bro, what the hell happened? I don't know what that is either, but it also may be the coolest thing they've ever done with Thea, that she's the one, like, she's the thing in the back pocket that might actually be able to take him.
All right.
And in order to use her well, like, in order to actually, like, figure out how this is happening, you have to bring John Barrowman back to do it. Hey, man, good job, writers.
Yeah, always good job, guys. I always enjoy seeing John Barrowman, except when he's, like, showing me his ass.
Seeing John Barrowman?
Well, he's so very rarely showing me his ass as far as, like, the shows that I watch, except for Torchwood.
Yes, well, yeah, there's a lot of John Barrowman ass in Torchwood.
I just had to get past that. But...
If it wasn't on, like, BBC One, it'd be on Hutu, but hey.
I swear, I think he had it in his friggin' contract that he had to make out with a dude every episode on Torchwood.
Probably.
But
it was a lot. Dude got around.
Wow. But yeah, so...
If anyone is wondering why that ever came to mind, just go look up John Barrowman ass. It's hilarious. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're assuming you're the minority of the world that has never looked up John Barrowman ass in Google. So the, like, four of you left in the world that have never seen John Barrowman's ass.
Right.
If you happen to be one of those four.
I think if you're, you know, going so far in your DCTV fandom that you're listening to us, you've probably already ventured that. Like, surely. You know what John Barrowman's ass looks like. You can probably draw it.
It's just a circle and then another half circle right next to it. It's not hard.
Well, I mean, you could probably give the description to a cop, and they'd pick him up in about 10 minutes.
Right. Like, show it, like, just pop up there with a little, like, is this what it looked like? Oh, Berriman. He's been here. He's been here again. We've got drawings of him all over the office. God, the guy we used for sketches quit like 4 months ago. Said he was tired of drawing his ass.
He's a serial mooner. We call him the man in the moon.
I really is. It's part of his like Comic-Con writer now.
Yeah, it is.
He's like, I'm sure it's like, I need packs of M&Ms. I would like Ville cutlets. I want a nice healthy smoothie for lunch, and no one can complain when I grab their ass.
Right.
Here you go. I'll see you in San Diego.
Right. I'm pretty sure he has just one suitcase full of turtle wax for his ass before he shows up to Comic-Con.
Does this even half qualify as Arrow discussion anymore?
I don't know. We talk for about 20 minutes sometimes fanboying over Stephen Amell.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We can, you know, no pun intended, crack jokes.
Yeah.
At John Berriman with his ass.
It's a relevant ass.
Okay. So jumping into the flashback sequences.
Oh, I saw someone call him oh God, it was like the pre-wig days is what some columnist was I think that's what he was calling him, like the pre-wig recap or something.
Post-wig recap?
Was that it maybe?
It had to be post-wig cuz he has given up the wig.
No, he has the wig one more time before he gets off. Then he, he comes back to the island finally next year, he's got the wig again. So I thought it was like we're at like the uncanny valley of wigdom right now.
He's at just like for 1 year he doesn't have to wear a wig. That's where he's at.
Yeah, right before he has to go get that facial hair trimmed, buddy.
Yeah. So dude, I cracked up when Baron Ryder held that little bundle of twigs at the dude and said, "You're lying." Like, I don't know, just the way he shook them just right. I just laughed so hard. He just shook that little bundle of twigs and, "You're lying."
It was good.
But I laughed even harder. And I actually wrote, "Damn, Ollie, whip that asshole."
They didn't say. I don't know if he actually did have to kill him or.
I don't know if he killed him, but he whipped him.
He got in a couple of good lashes at least.
He whipped him. I wouldn't be.
Now these clearly are Russians.
Yeah.
My maintenance about who does what accent, a different way aside. Is that how we're gonna get him a tattoo from a Russian gang?
I would guess. I don't think he's leaving the island again. I really don't.
You think he stays?
I think he stays. Like it. In my mind, if he actually like this makes sense of how he got back to the island. If he escapes and goes to Russia, and then Waller and her people like send him back, or he winds up on the island again for another reason, I'm just gonna be like calling bullshit on it because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's already like you were already stretching it to get him back there as you did. Now you kind of need to make the most of it, really do it, and we need to say goodbye to the island. Because, come on, didn't we talk about this over the summer a lot? Like, this needs to be... We're running out of flashback room here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I guess you might have one more year, but really, you don't.
I mean, honestly, they can like maybe get him on, like, a Russian ship or something where he can get the tats, and then if he can get kicked off or thrown off or somehow sacrifice himself and stay on the island, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Because he definitely, I'd like to go back to episode one and check on, he does have that tattoo on episode one, right? I think he had his entire litany of tattoos in episode one. So.
Yeah. If I'm remembering that correctly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you, there's a couple of like character moments I really liked. Diggle saying, "I would have traded my life for a stranger," talking about his brother that he didn't really know. I just thought it was
That was really good. Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't, like, griping about him being a dick and everything. Dude, he's doing a great job this season.
Yeah, he is doing a great job this season. I think this is why I wrote that about can we not have him being a dick anymore?
Right.
Because he told everyone thank you, and then he says, "Palmer, even you, thank you." I'm like, why would you say that to Ray? Like, why even Palmer? He just came back from the dead, dude. And when have you guys had a
and
beef?
Came out unasked to help you out, so...
Yeah, that was just kind
of... If he'd just taken the word even out of that, you'd have been fine. Like, if Palmer, you too, you'd have been fine with it, right? But Palmer, even you, is a different, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, that's like, even you, you annoying bastard.
Right. Like, listen here, pretty boy.
What the hell did Palmer do? You, but that was real weird.
He's done nothing but be delightful.
No, I mean, the thing, here's the thing with Andy, though. Andy, like, twice, at least twice, did he say the green one, kill the green one, or whatever.
Yeah.
He's clearly trying, like, he saved John, and or then...
at least didn't kill him.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool throwback, though, to mention, like, a month ago there was that guy that didn't kill you. I'd kind of forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, when they jogged my memory on it, I was, yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was a good job. Yeah, that was a good job. I was, like, actually a little impressed. I'm like, oh, look, there's that shadow of Frank Welker over there.
Right. Little, yeah. Again.
You know what I'm talking about.
Add that to the tally.
Yep.
Yeah, like, there were a couple of, like, golf clap. Damn, good job, writers. Kind of moments this show. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Hell, him and Diggle, or Ollie and Diggle throwing down about the brother, and they have another kind of personal moment. They're having a lot of bro downs right now.
Mm-hmm.
And how does he put it? I need to believe that we can come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
Great moment for Oliver. Like, he needs to believe that there's a world where everything he's done, he can make right. So he needs to believe that Andy can do it too.
Yeah.
And it really would. I'd be calling bullshit right now if they weren't consistent about that.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
I enjoyed it. And honestly, probably my favorite moment of this episode, for this character at least. Well, it's about the only time we saw him, but it may be my favorite moment from him this season at least. Lance just staring Damian Dark down.
And kind of grinning too.
Yeah. Fearless. And like willfully, stupidly fearless.
Yeah.
It takes a certain level of ignorance, insanity, delusion, anything, and mixture would be great to actually stare down someone that you've seen do what he has done. And he just looked him right in the eye and fucking lied to him.
Yeah.
I dug that. Like, if that's the Lance we get for a while, I would love it so much.
Yeah. If that's, I just say let's keep that Lance. If he can stay that way, I don't want him to die anymore.
Right. Or even better, let him have a swan song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, write him out well. If you're going to have to get rid of him, write him out well.
You know what my actual sincerest hope is for the show is that, like, at some point, maybe season 6, we actually get, he's, like, actually on Team Arrow and helping them.
Right. Hell, I'm hoping it's by the end of this season, honestly.
Yeah, me
too. We've been clamoring for that since day one.
They're, like, let's say, like, they're in, like, almost like a... like a final episode of Angel type of way, fighting in an alley with a bunch of bad guys. Could be ghosts. I don't care.
And they kind of did looks that. Over. Like, end of season 2 is very similar to that.
Uh-huh.
You know, the last Mirakuru battle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Mirakuru soldiers. Yeah,
That's one of those moments where we saw it and actually thought, no, it is as cool as we think it would be. Put Quentin on the team.
Yeah. Like, I want Quentin, though. Like, he knows Laurel's in a certain place, and he looks over and he sees Black Canary fighting by his side. And it's Kingston.
There you go. There you go.
That's what I want to see.
I don't blame you. We want her back very much. Hey, do you know there's a...
I want Alex Kingston back, yeah.
Did you crack up a little bit when you're like, there's a pill for Hive? There's just like a brainwashing pill for Hive somehow?
Oh, it just makes them more... what
compliant?
Was the word? Compliant, yeah. It made me laugh. I didn't really see a big issue with it.
It's one of those times where I thought, we're just going to work mind control in however you can, aren't you? You're just going to sneak it in there.
I didn't feel like that was mind control. I mean, hell, I've got a drug that makes me more compliant. I call it chocolate.
Right.
You hand me a Reese's or a Butterfinger, I'll pretty much do whatever you want.
I understand. I understand.
I'm like, no, I will not murder that dog. Oh, yeah? Here's a Snickers. Oh, well, sorry, Pooch.
Right.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't murder a dog.
Not even for 2 Snickers.
Not even for 3. But a whole bag of fun size. No, no.
No,
not
no.
Even for a whole bag of
not
fun size.
Not even for the fun size. I understand. There's a variety of cow-based products that I would absolutely do anything for. But if you offer me a tall, sweet glass of milk, I'm listening. I'm listening to whatever it is you're pitching. You've got to the end of this glass of milk at least. Right. Same with a cow. Like, I could have been that guy in The Matrix. Yeah. Easily.
Oh, man. Joe Pants. Laurel.
He's done a lot less Laureling since
I know.
Two episodes ago.
It just, I feel remiss if we go an episode of Arrow, of our Arrow review, without going, Sarah Laurel.
Right, right.
It feels like it has to be there now.
Well, maybe, you know, in a way, it's, I guess, time for change in certain places. Speaking of which, I meant to look up whoever wrote this episode because I wanted to demand by name that they be the people in charge of writing Laurel and Thea from now on.
Oh, I don't know that you want to say that, buddy.
Could it get worse? Could we go downhill? Well, is this not the most hope you've had in a very long time from either of those characters?
It is.
Let me put it this way. I understand that's a bold thing to ask for. I'd take that chance tomorrow.
Do you remember how bad we thought Laurel was in Restoration, episode 3?
Yes.
Well, it's half of that writing crew. Like, that episode was written by Wendy Miracle and Speedweed.
Yeah.
This episode was Speedweed and Keto Shimizu. Mm. So
maybe it's Keto that I need to be talking to.
Right. I think we hate Wendy.
Maybe. Well, maybe we hate
Speedweed.
It
was weird.
Which I'd hate to admit, because that name is too great.
Maybe, but, you know, Wendy was also the one who kept talking about how Laurel's got this great purpose now. Like, she actually came out and was talking about how great Laurel is.
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember being able to really suss out what she was talking about yet.
Yeah, and well, that's the thing. She thinks that she already has been.
Like, was that her whole thing?
Wendy's just wrong.
Was that?
Yeah, it's like just the whole thing with Sarah, I think.
That was your that was your load?
I think that was her load and she blew it.
That's not acceptable.
I think Wendy Miracle might be the one that's to blame here for the Laureling.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, any bad character.
Well, all right, then maybe.
I mean, and look, Laurel on her face is not a bad character. It's just how the writers write her, depending on what they do with her. They have not known what to do with her for quite a long time.
And that is not us saying it. No. We can find producers and writers' comments and actual evidence to back that up. They have not always known what they're doing with that character.
Writers, producers, actors have all said this.
Yeah.
We're sorry, Stephen Amell. We're not assholes on purpose.
Not by choice. I still, though, like, if the combination of Speedweed, whose name I can't forget, because how could you, and the other guy, whose name I already have forgotten, because Speedweed, if that's the combination we require, then, yeah, they should just be in charge of those two characters, period.
Mm-hmm.
Balls out from now on. Those are the two I want.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you like the little logo, the little United with the star behind it? I thought it was pretty good.
I don't even think I noticed it.
Oh, that's their logo. They got, you know, it's a star right there in the background with United written across the front. Oh, okay.
Huh. Okay. That's the mayoral?
The mayoral campaigns logo, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's good.
No, I hadn't noticed it, but that's cool.
And how are you digging the whole we're going to fight this in the light of day concept? What are you thinking there?
Well, I did like it. I actually wrote down, let's take this son of a bitch down in the light of day.
Right.
So,
I just had light of day exclamation point.
Yeah, I did like that. I thought this was a really, really solid episode, actually.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this episode of Arrow. Aside from, you know, just some kind of bad choreography. Not even choreography, just the way it was shot, I didn't care for. The choreography was fine for any other kind of shooting, I thought. But, yeah, other than that, I thought it was a pretty good episode.
The premise to me is still worth doing. Because if I had told you, like, hey, man, what if we took a couple of hints from Daredevil and did some one-shots in this thing? If that's all I'd told you, I think you'd be on board.
If that is all you told me.
Yeah. If I'd shown you this episode, you'd have probably balked a little bit. But
if you had said, hey, how do you feel about making Arrow more like Daredevil? That's the way to my heart first.
Yes, please.
I'm like, can we do just 13 episodes of Arrow a year?
Right.
And, you know, I'm not saying I don't want more episodes. I'm just saying I'd sacrifice quantity for quality.
Yeah.
Like, big fan of the truncated season order.
Yeah, and they actually have slightly longer episodes on Netflix, so it'd probably be more like 14 or 15 because of that little bitty time difference.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, wouldn't bother us. You know, I've talked about it many times. Like, we're a fan of the. It's somewhat a British system. It really is. It's not huge with American television. Not nearly as well accepted as it is in British television, where they do
it's
two seasons of The Office. Yeah, I know. Those lines are blurring. But like, two seasons of The Office, two Christmas specials, we're out. Period. Done. We go over here and do The Office here. You know, what'd they do? 9 seasons? 10?
Yeah, it was 9 seasons. Yeah,
it went on a while.
Yeah, and like The Office in the UK did 2 6-episode seasons.
Yeah,
and a Christmas special. Period.
I think there was a second
Christmas
special, wasn't there?
No, it was just it was a 2-hour Christmas special.
Is that it? Maybe it's been a while. Sorry.
Our Office did, you know, like the first season was 6 episodes, and the last 8 seasons are like 26 episodes.
Mm.
A season, something like that, something crazy like that. Like it's yeah, in the 20s at least.
It gets blown up. But yeah, it's a problem with the transference from British to American television. Now, you know, hey, maybe like some of the stuff we really do love aside, like Doctor Who aside or something. But there's exceptions to everything.
There's a reason the teats on our cows look really wrung out, as we milk the shit out of our cows.
Right. But, yeah, we've been a fan of that short order, tell your story and go home kind of thing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, Sherlock kills. And part of the reason it does is because they pop in for like 4 or 5 episodes a season? And then we'll see in 2 years?
Yeah, like 2 or 3 episodes. Yeah.
It's like 3 or 4 hours worth of actual product, I think. And then peace.
Right, right. Well, I mean, they do like TV movies, though. They do like 1.5 to 2 hours. But
yeah, they're big episodes. But,
yeah,
they're whole giant productions that tell a single story, and then Moffat goes off to, you know, save some other part of the universe.
Well, specifically, you know, he goes off to have the Doctor save part of the universe.
Yeah.
But I think that's really all he's working on is, like, Doctor Who and Sherlock, and that takes all of his time.
We have been talking so much about Doctor Who this week, and I it's not our fault. You know, it's Jessica Jones's that just dropped. Tennant's killing it.
Yeah, Michelle Gomez is over on Gotham.
Yeah, it's not our fault, guys. Barriman's ass.
Alex Kingston is on is Laurel and Sarah's mother on Arrow.
Yeah, right? the Hooniverse has just like spat all over these products, and all for the better. Not one time has it been a bad call.
Hey, guess what? Come January, you bastards are going to hear more about it because Arthur Darvill, he's going to be on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, he is.
He's not a Time Lord, but he's a Time Master.
Yeah. Works for me.
So, you know.
So we apologize if you just hate that crap, but come on.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. I don't know how you would just hate that. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know how you would sit and watch Arrow and go, I like this show, and then sit and watch Doctor Who and go, this is the worst thing ever.
I'm sure someone does. I'm sure it's possible.
I'm sure someone does. I just can't conceive of it.
I know. It's
it's
a little beyond it, but we've talked before about like we understand in theory that there are people that watch Arrow but don't watch Flash and vice versa. And it still blows my mind. I've begged 3 times. I think I'm on record 3 times now begging for someone to explain this to me.
No, I understand that you
no
exist.
One has prevailed
you're just,
upon it yet.
You're just freaking weird to me.
I don't get it.
I mean no harm. I mean no offense. I'm not trying to be fresh. I'm not trying to be forward. But y'all is weird, y'all. Y'all is weird.
Dude, it's like being shown a color I've never seen before. It doesn't register.
Yeah. It's exactly the feeling I get when I look at burgundy. Like, what color are you supposed to be? You're not real.
The color or the Gallo and Gallo substance?
The color.
Either one should be confusing to stare at. Why is that much wine only cost $2.50?
Why is it that only today I have $2.25 in my bank account?
These are sad times when the Gallo brothers can't save me.
What do you mean I can't afford NyQuil and Burgundy?
Don't force me to choose. It's cruel. It's been a long week.
How will I lose feeling in my extremities? How will I sleep this week?
I specifically licked someone earlier just to check their cold. You see the sniffle? Licked that man right across the nose, and you're not going to give me this NyQuil. God.
Oh, I licked a CVS night manager, by God.
Yes, you're a manager. Let me talk to him.
We are DC on screen.
Yep, I give up too.
You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and DCOnScreen.com. If you would like a similar podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, go check out our buddies Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall at the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast or MCUcast.com. Jessica Jones, the Marvel series, has just dropped on Netflix this week. we're watching it as well. So we're going to be popping over and doing some reviews with them, because it is a massive undertaking to review all of those episodes. And
it's so a massive enough undertaking to watch the episodes.
Yeah, I know.
We're wrong. Just gonna totally have some fun worth over it, there, though. But you're not sleeping this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not even sure, but I don't think that me and Jason are going to be on the same episode, so that's going to be weird.
I know.
That's going to be weird. I already miss you, buddy.
It'll be weird.
I'll
meet you back here. Apparently DC not on for screen. Flash and Arrow.
Yeah. DC on screen and MCU cast. We're both part of the Giant Size Team Up Network. And I'm really excited because it looks like we're going to have a website in January. That's what I'm hearing from as the MCU cast call him, Epic Boss Charles McFall.
Hell of a title.
Yeah, it's a fun title.
Yeah. Some titles are fun. I swear it's one of the reasons I started playing fantasy football was just so I could eventually be called Commissioner.
Right.
Just because it's
and
nice.
The only reason I drink so much soda is so I can be called Yellow Pea. Here comes old Yellow Pea. Traipsing into town.
We all have dreams.
You know it's him, even from a distance, because he's got a hitch in his giddy up. But
I don't know where this is going. I can't follow you into that town.
I don't know
if I should stop you or like cheer old, you on.
At least he's not like old Gin Sock over there. So
Gin Sock? Can you, in post, can you add a sound of me tapping out, like... What does it sound like when a towel hits like a mat? Because
well, it sounds a hell of a lot. Like it sounds a whole hell of a lot. like it does when a guy named Gin Sock sits down.
My towel is clearly on the floor, sir. Gin Sock would have had to trip over my damn towel.
And he most assuredly did.
At this point, I'm using my underwear as a white flag. Waving them wildly. Desperate abandon.
Oh. Until next time, keep some DC on your screen.